Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Welcome to Tuesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, Amy thinks that Ray is sleeping at the station again.
Well, I don't know what's going on, but a few times I've gotten here earlier than I usually do, and Ray has been in the kitchen at the sink brushing his teeth. And that, to me, is, like, not normal.
So when we first started here in Nashville, Ray and Lunchbox lived together for a while, and it was they hated each other, and it got to be pretty bad.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So Ray moved out, but he moved into the radio station. Mm-hmm. He would sleep under the table. He was getting his mail here. He had a gym membership. That's where he'd shower. But he didn't tell us this. We just kind of slowly figured out he was living here.
It was a great life.
Did you like it?
Didn't pay rent. No electricity bill.
That's crazy.
But it wasn't really a home. Didn't you always feel, too, like you were going to get caught?
I also was bouncing around, too. I mean, that's when I met Laura. I'm at Baser right away, so I wasn't here very long.
How long did you live at the radio station?
A week.
Oh,
no, you're out of your mind. You had your mail forwarded here.
It was months.
I don't know how it would be possible to live here months. I mean, it would be obvious. There would be dirty clothes. It would have been something.
I don't think it was 1 week.
Right.
That story has changed because we're farther away from it. What do you think, Lunchbox? How long?
At least 2 months.
Oh, you think 2 months?
Yeah, I mean, he...
But you can fact check when I ended my lease with you and when I first started posting pictures with Laura. There you go, and I guarantee it's about a week.
But did you move in with her when you only knew her a week?
Pretty quick, I started staying at her place.
You needed a place to stay?
He's like, well, this is going to work.
Was that part of the reason?
No, I thought she was awesome.
Okay. So, Amy thinks you're living here again. Any truth to that?
No, just... doing hygiene, brushing my teeth like most people do.
Yeah, but I don't come to work and brush my teeth. I
right.
do. I have hygiene like most people do.
But I was one of those kids in grade school. Everybody do research or recess. I would go to the bathroom. I'd brush my teeth. It was weird to do it then, and it's weird now, I guess.
You skipped recess
do you
to brush your teeth?
At home?
Yeah.
And then you come back here and you brush again?
Aren't we supposed to brush them 3 times a day? It's physically impossible.
You get in all 3 of the first few hours of being awake or what?
No, it's not adding up.
Yeah, something doesn't seem right.
All right.
Ray, if you're having a problem.
No, I'm good.
We have a room you can use at our place.
Yeah, and Amy busts me because we don't have hot water in the bathroom, so I have to do it in public in the kitchen, so sorry about that.
Hey, this just in, though,
what?
Because the new owners bought the building, I think there's hot water in the bathroom.
Oh!
Breaking news!
That's good!
Breaking news!
In the men's?
Yeah.
We've always had hot water.
Okay.
Really?
You're telling me that they made sure one of the pipes was cold just for the men?
Well, we also have a couch and toiletries.
I think there's hot water boys now.
Yeah.
And there's actually toilets instead of just holes in the ground.
Oh, thank you.
Which we had. That's all we had over there, too. Ray, you can't live here. I'm saying that officially.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not, but clean teeth, so I feel great.
Ray's our audio producer, in case you guys are new to the show. Ray gets here at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I pushed it back a little bit.
What time now?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be midnight, but now it's 1:32, but then I split it with the gym, too.
But then why so early?
Just so I can go to the gym, workload. You never know if the computer's broken. There's been times I get it handled before you guys even get here, and you'd never even know about it.
Yeah, but you don't have to get it. We go on the air at 6 Eastern, 5 Central.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were here at 4, you'd have plenty of time to fix stuff.
Not plenty of time to fix a broken computer. Sometimes it's been lucky I was here early morning hours.
He's
fixing broken computers?
He doesn't know how to restart this computer, much less fix a broken one. Okay. All right, Ray, if you need anything, let us know, okay?
All right. All
right. It is time to open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I'd like to remain anonymous since this is embarrassing for all those involved. I accidentally saw my mother-in-law naked. My wife and I are having to live with her parents while our house is being renovated. My company allows us to work one day a week from home. So I have my setup in the living room. Everybody else is at work except my mother-in-law, who I guess forgot I was home too. She walked in the living room wearing only her house shoes.
No.
What?
Oh no. Oh no.
And she freaked out when she saw me. It felt so wrong that I decided just to go into the office to get out of there. I called my wife. I told her immediately, but I have not spoken to my mother-in-law about it. It's been a few days now. We have to stay here another week. It's weird when we see each other. Do I say anything to her, or do I just let it live in the past? Signed, anonymous. Well, I think if it's this many days later, there's really not a reason to pursue it and go make a point to talk about it. It's not like anyone did anything wrong. If, let's say, you walked in and she was cheating, or she was selling something illegal, or, and you had, that's a conversation you have to have because she's worried if you're going to tell on her. It's, yeah, that's a thing. But because you just saw her naked, and you know what? That's real life. We're all naked. We don't even get clothes until later. Yeah, we come out naked.
Yeah, you lock that away. You
just don't talk. You don't have to.
Unless
she brings it up and she's naked. It's just not something that you really want to talk about. Yeah, let it go. And your wife knows, so that's good. Your wife might be mad if she found out that you saw her mother naked without telling her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're covered. Speaking of mother-in-law, Lunchbox thinks his mother-in-law. And he sent me a segment idea like maybe last week. Like, my mother-in-law is flirting with me again. And so that's what it reminded me of. What was it?
Yeah, she saw me in a swimsuit, and she commented, she goes, that swimsuit looks nice on you.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to say that. Like, I don't know.
You felt violated?
I felt like she's saying, hey, why don't you wear that swimsuit more often? Like, that's a nice-looking swimsuit.
Think your mother-in-law, this is a little different than this email, was coming on to you?
Absolutely. Ain't the first time.
What do you think would happen if you said, well, you look pretty good yourself?
She'd be like, oh, you want me to wear it more? I guarantee she'd be like, okay, I can wear it next time, or I'll wear it when I'm around you. Or,
but then where do you think it goes, though? Let's just say you play right into it.
I think it would be one of these where she accidentally walks in naked, you know? Like,
okay, but then where do you think it goes?
Oh, I ain't going nowhere. No. It ain't going anywhere. I ain't trying to do that. But I'm saying that. I think she would be interested in that.
But couldn't she have just been complimenting a swimsuit?
And isn't she way older?
Yeah, she doesn't like a younger, good-looking dude.
Isn't she your wife's mom?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Don't they say that mom and daughter are a lot alike, so maybe she likes the same type of guy? I don't know.
Yeah, her husband probably.
What does she think about when you show up and like your hair ain't cut? I mean, the beard's growing all over the place. Is that kind of her thing?
I don't know. She didn't really say anything about that. But I mean, like the one time I'm sitting in the recliner and she walks by and rubs the top of my head. I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
oh, that's awkward. Weird.
And that's weird.
Thank you. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
What does your wife say about it?
My wife says, oh, you're so ridiculous. She's just being nice. I'm like, yeah, until she's not.
Well, until she's not.
Like, just being nice. And
a little
then
more nice.
Make a move.
Nicer. What do you say to this dude who saw his mom-in-law naked?
I mean, you don't need to tell her. Just live with that nightmare for the rest of your life and try to get it out of your head, but you don't need to tell her.
Why are you saying it's a nightmare?
That's a nightmare.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
How is it not? Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's a nightmare. It's really awful. Yeah. No need to talk about it. I appreciate that. Thank you for the email. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
You guys can decide if this is weird or not, but it's something I've kind of incorporated in my personal life. My wife and I were out this weekend. We were getting some breakfast. Kind of a brunch thing. We had worked out in the morning, and then we were looking for somewhere to eat, and we walk into a breakfast place, and we see two people that we know okay, but it's a small place, so you got to talk for a little bit. I'm not a, just a big small talk guy anyway, and I like them. I was really hungry. I didn't eat breakfast before I worked out, and then it's time to eat. And so we're there. They're walking out. We're walking in. You got nothing to do but sit and talk for a second. And so we peel off in twos, just standing there. And two husbands and two wives just they're talking. And Caitlin and her, they're talking. And me and him. And I honestly just ran out of stuff to say. I hate small talk. And I literally ran out of stuff that I would have liked to have talked about. So what I do now is I go, hey, I think that's all I got to say. Why don't we just listen to them?
Oh, yeah.
You actually say that, though?
Yes, I do. And this has happened a couple times where I just want to be honest and I don't want to do the fake small talk. Mm. I saw someone at a show recently and I was like, well, I guess that's really all we got to talk about. So I'm going to move on, okay? And I think they found that refreshing.
Yeah. Maybe.
And whenever I did the breakfast thing, I was like, well, that's pretty much, man, all I got to say. So let's just focus over here on the girls. And I think he was a little struck by how odd that was, but I also think he appreciated the honesty. And so we did. And so I really don't think anything about it. I never really talked to Caitlin about it. She knows at times. I wouldn't say I'm socially awkward. It feels awkward at times, but I know socially where I want to go and what I want to do. And at times that can be awkward for the other person. So we walked out after breakfast and she goes, I heard you just stopped talking. And I was like, yeah. She goes, interesting play.
Yeah.
She goes, because you didn't just stop talking. You said, I'm done talking. Let's just listen to them. And she goes, I heard it in the back. Like, you guys, and she goes, I didn't want to acknowledge it because I was talking to her. And she goes, but yeah, that's a little awkward. And I was like, yep, but we stopped talking. And you were freed earlier because then we're focusing on you. So the attention's on them. And they're like, well, I guess we should go. And you know what? You know who ate pretty soon after that? This guy.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Okay.
So that's what I do now. I don't go into it going, I can't wait to tell them I'm done talking. And if someone tells me that too, I'm just grateful because sometimes you get cornered and neither one of you want to be talking in a small talk situation. And so it's just like, yeah, we ran out of stuff. And right when I felt that lull, I was like, oh, I guess that's all we got to talk about. And so,
I mean, at least you had the, hey, let's listen to our wives talk. But like, say Caitlin's not present.
Well, I did that. Like I said, I was at a concert recently and I was like, hey, I guess that's all we got to say. So
and then you just
keep
do
moving.
What? You walk away?
I said, I'm going to keep moving. So yes, I say it and then I move
yeah,
away.
That's crazy.
I'm just trying to picture it.
But
sorry, I'm having a hard time.
It's very productive as far as like you don't spend much time. They don't want to be there either. I'm not being rude. I'm just being honest.
I love it. It's genius. It's bold and it's smart. It's going to save us so much awkwardness because what you do is when you get that lull, you look around like, how am I going to get out of here?
Next?
What am I going to do? Or you automatically grab your phone to act like you're looking at something. So instead just say, hey, man, it was a good talk. I think we're out of things. I'm going to move on.
That's it.
It's genius.
That's it. Because there's a lull for both people.
It is. Both people are wanting out.
If
both
you're talking
people
to me,
want, no.
We're right in the middle of a lunchbox and I go, well, I'm done talking to you. That's rude.
Yes.
Because he was still in the middle of a sentence.
Mm.
But if we finish and it's like, I guess that's it. All right. We've both said our stuff. I'm going to move on.
Now, does the other person acknowledge like, oh, yeah, you're right. We are done. Or do you
it's held
not
weird
let
for them,
them
for a second? Because I feel this technique is new. I feel it's something that a lot of people maybe haven't ventured into that world yet because it is awkward at first. But I think he was like,
once you get moved on,
yep,
you're
going to
become a mover honor. You're
going
to do the same thing. You're going to be like,
wins.
You know what? That
so
was great.
So what's the line again?
Well, it can be whatever you want it to be,
but
let's say you and
line.
I are talking and we're law, and we'll law here, 3-2-1 law.
Well.
Mm. Well, I guess that's all we got to talk about. Hey, real good to see you. I'm going to move on over here.
Perfect.
That doesn't even feel that weird
no,
or aggressive.
It does feel weird.
No, you're right. No part of it is aggressive, but also I might go cry.
No, there's no need.
That's really funny.
If you said that to me, Eddie, let's lull here on the count
okay,
of three.
You
take over here,
oh,
okay?
Oh, gosh. I would never do this, by the way.
Let the lull sit for 1 second.
Yeah.
Then you take – yeah, so it was really – and so there it was, and ate three bottles of pasta.
Oh, that was crazy.
Okay.
Well – All right, man. I guess we're done talking here, so I'm going to get going. Good seeing you, though.
Good to see you, too, buddy.
All right.
That's it.
I mean, it sounded natural.
Nobody wants to be there at all.
Wow.
So, hey.
Yeah. That's awkward.
You got to do better, Amy.
Have to go at and be like, well, I guess that's all we got to say. Huh?
That's all we got.
I'm going to be moving on.
Gotta go.
Yeah. Now, unless they have something else to say,
absolutely,
they'll say
you don't want to interrupt
there.
That, but there's never a lull if somebody's got something to say.
That's right.
Then you hit them with the happy trails, and then you get out of there.
Okay.
So that's all. Just take a little something from me. Try it.
Oh, my gosh.
You're actually doing a service to the other person. That's how I see it.
No, I understand your point. I understand your point. Just for some of us, practicing this is going to be really bad.
Yes, especially if you're not comfortable in awkward situations, which I'm absolutely fine in. I like it. I thrive in it sometimes. But I'm like, all right. Boy, we've said it all, huh? I'm going to get out of here.
We've said it all.
There's many of those. Well, how about that? We couldn't say another word, could we? I guess we run out of stuff to talk about. Man, that's good. Good talk, though. They're just limitless.
Man, that's going to cut out all the weather talk. I mean, talk's going to be done.
Absolutely love it. Because now it's on my phone. Yep. All right. How about that conversation? That was a good one. Maybe next time we'll do it again. There we go.
All right. Okay.
That's it. It works. Person's a little shocked when you do it the first time, but it works.
Okay.
All right. There you go. The more you know.
Thank you, man.
A little tip from me here.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
Police officer Lance Hoffmeister was on patrol and he sees someone walking on the side of the highway. So he pulls up, gets closer, and realizes that's not just someone. That's an older lady in a walker walking on the side of the highway.
Wow.
So he rolls the window down. He's like, ma'am, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm trying to get to my hair appointment. And she says, you're on the highway, ma'am. Get in the car. So he takes in the car. He starts talking to her. And she says she's 84 years old. She lived about 50 miles away. She took the bus, but the bus dropped her off a little far from the hair place.
Oh, no.
And so the officer took her to the hair place, got her off, walked her in, and said, here you go. Next time, please be careful. And he made the time, man, to make sure she got their hair appointment
carefully. I think it's great that she didn't get hit by a car.
Yeah. Yes.
About she get back.
That's all I was wondering.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe he waited. That's just my assumption.
I kept reading to see if the officer waited and then took her back. But see that part.
We're just going to say he did because I don't think he'd leave her. But yes, I'm glad he stopped and checked on her and then took her in. But I wonder, did she think the bus went all the way to the hair place? Did the bus driver put her off in the wrong spot?
Did she get off at the wrong stop?
Did she get off?
A lot of good questions.
Regardless, I'm glad there was a police officer there protecting and serving.
That's right.
And taking her all the way to the hair spot. Any picture of her hair after?
No, there's no before and after.
I heard it rocked. Yeah, I heard she really did a good job on that hair. Great story. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Time for two truths and a lie to hopefully give RJ $5,000 in cash. Everybody say hi to RJ.
Hello!
RJ, how are you this morning, buddy?
I'm doing really good. A little nervous, but good.
Where do you live, RJ?
I'm just south of Wichita, Kansas, here in Derby.
So when I used to work maintenance on a golf course, and I would have to work out because there were some holes that were near the street, we had to wear a vest and a very bright shirt that looked like that. Are you in some sort of landscaping business?
I definitely am, yes. Groundskeeping, landscaping, all around.
The problem for me was we had to keep, they're bright shirts, but they were always so dirty because they're so light. And I'd have green, I'd weed eat in that thing. It would just be covered in dark green. Yeah, how many of those yellow shirts you got there?
I think I got about 5 of them. I give a lot of credit to my wife for getting out a lot of the stains and things like that. So, it's magic. You put it in the hamper, it comes out clean.
I like that magic. We like magic. Okay. We like magic. Yeah, the magic hamper. RJ is on with us. If you win $5,000, that's some new yellow shirts.
Yeah.
Right there for her. All right, here's what we're going to do, RJ. We're going to give you 3 statements. Each of us on the show are going to read one. You just have to find the lie. So 2 of them are going to be true. 1 of them is going to be a lie. Do you understand the game, RJ?
I do, yes.
All right. By the way, this is all about spotting a liar because USA's new competition reality show, Snake in the Grass, gives 4 contestants a chance at $100,000. The only catch, they have to find out which one of them is sabotaging their every turn. If they fail, the snake leaves with all the money. Spot the lies, catch the snake, win the cash. Snake in the Grass, episode 2 on Monday, August 8th at 11, 10 Central on USA. All right. RJ, Lunchbox will be the first one to tell you a story. Go ahead.
When I was a freshman in college and I was working at Sam's Club picking up the shopping carts, I look down and I find an ID in the parking lot. And it's a 22-year-old dude that looks just like me. And I'm like, got me a fake ID. I could use it to bar hop. And then a new bar opens called Foundation. And I go and I give the bouncer my ID. He asked me my address. He asked me my age, my birthday. And I'm like, man, I know all this. And I say it and he goes, dude, this is me. Took the ID. Never got into Foundation.
Oops. All right. There we go. Dude, I used to go to Foundation.
Good stuff.
When I first moved to Austin. Hated that place. I always felt like people acted way more rich there than they were.
For sure.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, why are they trying to act rich? All right, next up. Amy.
Well, I was invited to a very intimate dinner at someone's house. I didn't know the entire guest list at all. And when we sat down at the table, to my left was Sheryl Crow, and to my right was Kix Brooks.
Did you go by yourself? Why an exact left and right?
Well, I don't remember the exact seating. We were all at the table.
Not like, exactly. They were just sitting on that side
of
you.
Like,
got
but
it.
I mean, it was we were all fitting around like one dining room table. It wasn't like this huge long thing, and everyone was just talking like, you know, it was normal. And I was like, oh my gosh, hey Sheryl.
Amy
hey,
records
Kix.
It on her phone.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two. And then finally, it's me, RJ. Here's my story. So I have a bulldog named Stanley right now. You may have seen him on the book, Stanley the Dog, the first day at school. You may have seen him on my Instagram. Love him very much. Also have a dog named Eller. She is awesome as well. But before I had these dogs, I had a dog named Dusty. Now, Dusty was awesome. He was he lived to be 12, 13 years old. He was with me for a whole lot. But what we would do is we would have meat night. Like a designated meat night where I would go to the grocery store and I would buy a bunch of meat. And what we would do is just eat meat all night long. So it was Dusty and Bobby in a meat night once a month. All right, those are your three stories. So you have Lunchbox who found an ID and then you act like it was yours because it was a guy 22 years old.
Yep, got to go bar hopping and then the bouncer took it from me when I went to the bar because it was him.
You have Amy, who sat at dinner. She was invited to somebody's house. You had no idea there were going to be fancy people there. And two of those fancy people were Kix Brooks from Brooks and Dunn and Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
And you guys wrote a song together. No, that part I made up. That part I made up. And then there's me. Before Stanley and Eller, I had a dog named Dusty. And then once a month, I'd go to the grocery store and just buy a whole bunch of meat. And we'd eat it all night long. All right, those are your three. RJ... When you hear those three, do any of them sound like for sure that one's true?
Amy's does sound like it's true. Maybe that's because she's just a truthful kind of person, it seems like. But I would have to say I think Amy's is true.
So you're going to lock Amy into that true spot?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's lock her into the true spot. So then we'll come over to you, Amy. If this is true, he's still in the mix for $5,000. Were you invited to an intimate dinner at someone's house?
I was.
At that intimate dinner, did you sit next to Sheryl Crow and Kix Brooks?
I did.
All right, all right, all right. All right, RJ. $5,000. 50-50, $5,000. All right, so you got Lunchbox and the ID. You got me and the meat. The name of my next tour, by the way. Me and the meat coming to a city near you. RJ, how do you feel? Talk it out. Don't commit right now, but talk it out a little bit.
Yeah, I know the story with Lunchbox that Sam's pushing carts, and that definitely seemed it does seem like a pretty big coincidence that he would turn the ID into the person that it actually is. I also know you're pretty healthy with what you're doing, and having just a meat night might not really be your thing. So it's kind of back and forth. Both of them kind of sound like lies to me.
Maybe that's the trick. There are two lies.
Ooh.
But that is not true. That is not true. There are not two lies. RJ, what would you do with $5,000?
Right now, I just don't know. We got a little bit of remodeling at the house, but I have an anniversary coming up at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And I know my wife's going to be listening into this. So I have to say get a better anniversary gift than I was planning.
I like it. I like it, RJ.
That's good.
Maybe get a nicer hamper.
Good answer. Ooh.
A nicer magic hamper.
For his best.
Yeah. Okay, RJ, so who's lying? Is it me on meat night, or is it Lunchbox who found an ID before he's 21 and used it?
Bobby, I have to go with you as the liar. I do not think you would have just a meat night.
Okay, he's locking me in as the liar. No meat night for me and my old dog, Dusty. All right, Lunchbox, will come over to you. In your first year of college, you found an ID. Dude was over 21, but he looked just like you. You turned it into a bouncer, and he was like, wait, this is not you. This is me. Any validity to that story?
No validity. I'm the snake.
Lunchbox is the liar.
Boo!
Lunch is happy about it. I'm sad about it. Lunchbox.
Too. I'm like, dang, it's about to get a better anniversary present.
Is if he would have known where I went to school, you gave it away. Because I said foundation because I was just trying to give details. And you said, oh, I used to go to that place in Austin. I went to college in San Antonio. I was like, oh, my gosh.
But you were so close to Austin, you could still drive
there. I didn't think about that, but yeah, I was like, oh, it's a giveaway. He's going to win.
He didn't know my Social Security number. He didn't know.
No, Bobby never said Austin. And also, you would go to Austin in the summertime.
I didn't think.
Also, some clubs are franchised.
That's true.
Multiple locations.
Okay. RJ, I did have Dusty. We did have meet night once a month. And here's the bad news is you did not win $5,000. Oh. And I hate that for you. The good news is, it's 30 now. 30? You'll have a chance to win $30,000. Okay, so you're still in the mix. I don't know if you heard the last time we did this. I was actually on yesterday's show with the four callers. Anybody that plays this week has a chance at least $30,000. So, RJ, no cash today, but you got a chance to win more cash next Monday, okay?
All right, sounds good.
He's very down right now. I am too. He's very down. I'm down.
You were hooting and hollering.
Well, that means I'm a good actor. But also, I mean, at least he doesn't have to get a better anniversary gift.
I know, but she's going to listen to me anyway. Like, oh,
all right, RJ, we'll talk to you in a few days, okay, buddy?
All right, Bobby.
All right, dang. All right, can you spot a liar? If you can, you should watch Snake in the Grass. Episode 2, Monday, August 8th, next Monday, 11, 10 Central on USA. Hope you guys watched the show last night. I hope you liked it last night. RJ, no luck today, but we'll get him again next time. We'll play again tomorrow morning as well with another player. Thank you, guys. So Eddie got a DM on Instagram from a guy that claimed what?
He's the pastor that married J-Lo and Ben Affleck in Vegas.
And he told you he's not doing a single other interview. Then I looked and he'd everybody interview
him. Yeah, he's kind of all over the internet, right?
Yeah, he's like local news. Yeah.
So I looked back at the DM and it was my bad. It was my mistake. He said the only radio show. So he hadn't talked to any other radio show. He was waiting for us. Because he's a big fan. He listens to our station in Vegas, and he says he's a big fan of the Bobby Bones Show.
Well, here he is. Eddie's talking to him, 95.5 The Bull in Las Vegas. That's his station, and we appreciate that. But he married Ben Affleck and J-Lo. You call him up. His name is Ryan Wolf, minister at a Little White Chapel in Las Vegas.
The Little White Chapel in Vegas. This is the famous one, like in the movie The Hangover. Like, this is where he works.
Okay, and here is clip one where he is explaining how it all happened.
So how did all this happen? Did they call? Did you know they were coming, or did they just show up?
So, man, we had no clue they were coming in. We were actually about to close, and so I just finished up, like, the fifth wedding at 9 p.m., and it was just me and our coordinator there. That was all that was there, and I saw an Escalade pull in. I didn't really recognize them at first. They walked through. They walked in, and I was like, man, I know them. I know them. I know them. And then I put it together who they were, and they said, do you have time to do one more? And I'm like, yeah, we can do one more.
If a minister is at the Little White Chapel and he's marrying people all day long, he's an ordained minister, or is he like a minister, a man of the Lord?
He's a minister, man of the Lord. He's a pastor at another church, but he does this on the side.
Got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's legit.
Okay, yeah.
All right, all right. Wow. Here is number two talking about what he charged.
So, Ryan, do you have like a regular price that's just kind of like this is the base price? Or do you see Ben and J-Lo and be like, oh, grab, okay, this is going to be $10,000 wedding today?
Yeah, right. No, I wish, man. I would love to do that. But no, we just have regular base price. Like they paid $75 for the chapel. And then they took care of me at the end, you know, gave me a tip.
So are you going to say how much they tip or you'd rather not?
I can't.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. It was less than a few thousand.
Eddie, we got to work on your interviewing skills.
What do you mean?
Because if you just want it to not be acknowledged or if you want to give him a shot and he said, you just kind of said, hey, we're going to talk about it or we're probably not going to because of, like you led him to it. Then you told him once he got there, don't even tell us.
Yeah, you're right. I should have just left it open-ended. Like, dude, tell us. Right. So he's forced to tell us.
Yeah. Or say, hey, so I would imagine people tip you when they come in. got to be a little different when it's J-Lo and Ben, right?
Oh, that's so good.
So you can give him the opportunity if he wants to, but don't lead him to it. Be like, oh, I got it. But don't say it. But don't say it.
Okay, all right. I won't do that.
His answer was really interesting. What did he say? I'll just say it was a little less than $2,000.
Yeah, less than a couple thousand bucks.
Okay, so what? Okay, 1500 maybe?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he say it?
It's got to be between one and two.
Right.
That's what I'm assuming.
So just say it.
But you know what, Bones? You're right. I should have just let him say it, huh?
Yeah, then we wouldn't be having to spend 30 seconds wasting this on the air. Here is another one. Go ahead.
So what was the whole vibe like?
The vibe was this. If you would have asked me on Friday, the 15th of July, if you just said, do I think J-Lo and Ben, if they got married, would make it, I'd have probably said, no, it hadn't worked before. It's not going to work this time. But, like, after seeing them, like, together and seeing, like, the love they have for each other and, like, being able to be there with just them and one of their, they both had one of their kids there each. I can tell you, like, they really do, like, love each other. They really do care about each other. And I really do think it will probably make it. I think they might have some challenges like every married couple does, but I think they'll probably make it.
You know, it's tough because she's been divorced a lot.
Yes, yes.
Or at least with, yeah, I mean, divorced.
Engaged a lot.
Yeah. And then also that industry is tough.
Yeah.
It's just tough. So,
but he saw what he saw.
I know, but I'm not going to judge it based on a single day.
Okay.
And wow, okay, so I thought maybe they just decided and they rolled up to get married, but if they had one of their, each of their kids with them, it was more.
They could have had the kids with them on a trip. I don't know.
Okay, true.
Yeah, here's one final clip.
Was it serious or was it funny? Like, were their vows funny?
No. It was very serious. They had their own vows and it was very emotional. They cried. They laughed a little bit. There was tears.
Did you get a picture with them when all was said and done, or did they just get married and see ya?
I asked them. I said, hey, could we take a picture? I know y'all don't want pictures or video, and I'll respect that. But would you guys take a picture with your phone, a selfie with y'all's phone, and will you send it to me after, you know, the news gets out and you guys are legally married and everything? I'm still waiting on that picture, by the way.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, did they actually send it to you?
I haven't got it yet. I'm still waiting on that.
Eddie, it's pretty good. Even though we're weeks late, it's not relevant at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a lot of other interviews. I found this to still be pretty entertaining.
Right?
Yeah, I did. I honestly did.
They cried. I didn't know they cried.
There we go. Guys, we got the inside information of what it was like in there.
I'm sure when he did
other interviews, he done
he gave that.
I haven't listened to other interviews, and who cares? Who cares what he said to them?
I liked it, though.
Thank
good
you,
job.
Man.
I liked it.
Thank
good you. Job. We'll work on some little minor interview techniques, but you did a good job.
All right. I appreciate that.
Here's a voicemail from Lois in Baton Rouge.
Lunchbox, just wanted to give you a heads up because I recently experienced this. If you make over $600 on eBay, they report everything to the IRS.
Your thoughts, Lunchbox? I guess this is referring to the storage unit we bought.
Yeah, well, we're not over $600 yet, and so
I think our grand total is estimated to be about $599.
Oh,
right.
Just estimated total.
Yeah, and if you just change usernames every time to post.
I have nothing to do with that, by the
way. That
way
the IRS has no idea.
No, I got nothing to do with that one. I like to pay all my taxes. Sometimes I pay more just because I'm in the mood.
Right, but the other user wouldn't make over $600, so we're not hiding anything.
Don't we? Got a mouse in your pocket? I got crap going on over here. Thank you very much. Appreciate the voicemail. You can call us anytime. 877-77-BOBBY. Please leave a voicemail.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Recent high school grads, Caitlin and Drew, they've been dating for 2 years now, and they're going viral online because of a few videos that they put up about how they haven't ever kissed and they don't plan to until they say, I do. Now, of course, there's a lot of haters online, but Caitlin, she's not letting them bother her because she decided long before Drew that she was going to save kissing for her future husband. And Drew's here for it. I have a clip of him talking about their relationship.
We were best friends, and then we fell in love, right? So everything that we do is to protect and to look forward to more in the future. I want to marry this girl with every fiber in my being.
Well, I commend them.
Yeah.
If you believe in something and it's not hurting anyone else, I think go for it. It's weird to me. It's weird.
Have you ever known anybody? Nah. Okay. Nah. I knew one couple and they did it. I mean, Well, they saved the kissing for the altar.
But then, but since they've been married, they still haven't did it. You know what I mean? They're waiting until their 10-year anniversary.
No, but I mean, it was special for them.
Absolutely, I understand it. It is weird to me, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Good for them for holding true to what they believe. A lot of people don't hold true to what they believe. Go chase life, kids. There you go.
This is an example of that, so I love it.
Hey, that's weird, man. All right, what else?
A futurologist has shared some things that we can expect to be mainstream by the year of 2050.
There's something called a futurologist?
Yeah, they study trends and different studies and graphs and all these things.
Sounds like a made-up job. Somebody just called themselves a futurologist.
No, it's part of science.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's... Okay, go ahead.
Well, we can expect drones to stock our refrigerators. Like, they'll just fly right in... Fill it up.
Anytime I've ever seen these stories, because I was looking at one from like the 60s where they printed and all of it was wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a futurologist. It was a newspaper writer who guessed the future. You know, that's all it was. And it was like, I expect floating cars. And they really thought that's where we'd be now. And it was all pretty wrong. But this one says we'll have drones stocking our fridge, not just dropping off things, but stocking it.
Yes. Kitchens will operate almost entirely without water. They're going to use ultrasonic waves to clean surfaces.
Oh. Wish we had that now.
Yeah, no
kidding. Golly, I'd get in way less trouble for not loading up the dishwasher, you know? What else?
Eating bugs will be normalized.
Okay, probably because we've run out of other food supply and there are a lot of bugs.
Oh, that's possible.
Yeah.
We're going to grow our food in vertical farms, so fields will stretch upwards, not outwards.
This just sounds like a sad Terminator movie or something from the future. I mean, it sounds like we've run out of everything and now we're having to just do that.
There will be bins that automatically separate recycling. And then as for space, people will be landing on Mars and creating self-sustaining economies.
Okay, good luck, everybody.
We'll see.
I'll never know, but good luck.
Yeah, you'll be here in 2050. That's not that
come
far
on,
off.
Debatable. Everything on me hurts. So I got a bad feeling how this is going to go long term. All right, what else?
I hope you're here. So Jimmy Allen posted something the other day that I feel like deserves repeating. He tweeted, check in on your friends. Social media is not a way to find out how people are doing. People are really struggling. It has just gotten easier to hide it. So just thought I'd share that and use this as a friendly reminder, a little nudge to reach out to a friend today.
What if you check in on social media, though?
No.
You DM them. Oh. How's it going?
I guess that counts.
Because that's, you know, that's how I talk with a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
This is great news for the people of Shawnee, Kansas. If you've got a speeding ticket, a traffic fine, you can now pay that off with school supplies. For every $15 worth of supplies you buy, you get $50 credit to your fine. And every $30 is $100 off your fine. All you have to do is go to the store, buy the school supplies, bring it with a receipt, and boom, your fines are wiped away. So, get to speeding.
No,
that's not the story. The story isn't to go buy markers and pencils so you can speed. The story is if you got in trouble, you can get out of it with that.
Right, but I'm saying this will be help the
it's
school.
It's probably a real small window, too.
Yeah.
Like because quick. School is starting. Right. I don't think you can get a ticket now for speeding and then...
Oh, I thought it'd be cool, you know, like just to get a speeding ticket on purpose just so you could buy school supplies.
You just hand them the bag of school supplies right then.
Do you know why I pulled you over? Don't worry, I got the school supplies right here. Thank you.
That's good. I like that. Shawnee, shout out to you guys because they definitely could be keeping that money and doing different things with it, but they're helping out a lot of families who are probably struggling right now with school supplies.
Yeah, there's another town in Kansas. I just don't know how to say it.
Go ahead.
Morgan number two, it's that one.
Olathe.
Yeah, the people of Olathe, Kansas.
Yeah,
I love a good Olathe, Kansas. Yeah. All right. Shout out to you guys. That's awesome. You're helping a lot of folks. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.